This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet rope. Let's just get right into it today because we have an icon, a living legend, one of the first, and someone I am a personal fan of. The one, the only, Mr. Jerry Springer.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for calling me Mr.
Listen, this is behind the velvet rope, Jerry. We are very professional here today.
Yes.
How are you? Listen, I am so excited for the new season, season 3 of Judge Jerry. So welcome. I cannot wait to talk all about it. Before we get there, I have to say, I am a lawyer too. You are a lawyer. Let's just put that right out there.
Oh, well then I'll do my best so that you don't sue me here.
Well, you also went to Northwestern. They politely declined my application. It is only one of the best law schools in the country.
I'll talk to them. That's an outrage. That's an outrage. If they took me, they certainly should have taken you.
Please put a good word in for me, Jerry.
I will. Yeah.
But, you know, you practiced law for 15 years. You're a former mayor. You know, listen, if anyone is qualified to be a judge on TV, it certainly is you.
Well, you're kind to say that. I'm really excited about it. It's the only job I've ever had that I actually was trained for, because all these other wonderful jobs I've had in life, I've been very, very lucky, were just kind of handed to me. But it wasn't anything, you know, I wasn't trained to be in show business. I wasn't trained to be a news a journalist, a news anchor. I, you know, wasn't trained to be a mayor. All these things just kind of came together. And now, all of a sudden, the opportunity is, hey, how about doing Judge Jerry? And that was just, you know, at my age, I thought, you know, retirement was my future. And now all of a sudden, I've got this great job. I love it. It keeps my mind going.
And is that true? Because I read that, you know, after an unprecedented 27 years, of course, a much deserved retirement, that you were planning to retire and NBC said, wait a second, we have other plans.
Yeah, they and of course, it took me about 12 seconds to say yes. Sean O'Boyle, who's the head of sales for NBC Universal, he came into the office about, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks before my last episode of the Jerry Springer Show. And he shut the door and he said, hey, how about Judge Jerry? And I went, whoa. And that's how it happened. We quickly did a pilot and the stations bought it. And so here we are into season 3, my third year of doing this. And I'm very grateful. You know, at 77, I didn't think I'd be having a job and having one. I just love it. Gives me a real good reason to get up in the morning. And I love studying the cases. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
Is it so nice? Listen, here I am and I have a law degree too. Is it nice to be using your law degree at, you know?
Well, it's something I haven't used in 30 years. So yeah, it is. And the laws have changed since I went to law school. You know, I went to law school with Lincoln, and they're all new laws since then. No, yeah, I graduated in 68. And so, yeah, there are obvious differences now. But I find the challenge of doing particularly small claims where the issue isn't the amount of the money, but right. The issues are just as complicated. And the people, in a sense, are more serious about this because when they go to small claims court, they're angry. I mean, why would you, you know, normally you'd say, well, it's just for a couple of bucks. What's the point? So if you bother to go through this whole, you know, procedure to go to small claims court to sue for $5,000, this is something very important to you. And the intensity of the dispute, I have to treat that seriously. I mean, I can't help making some jokes along the way because that's just what I do. But in the end, I have to treat it, the process and the people, with respect, which I'm very happy to do. And that means I have to be serious in how I rule.
Do you find yourself using a lot of your skills that you learned on the Jerry Springer show during the 27 years? Because you did just resolve a lot of disputes there too.
Well, yes, but I always viewed however I handled that, I just thought that was part of being a grown-up. In other words, you know, I view every case as if it were someone in my family, my kid, my grandson, involved in a dispute. How would I have? I mean, I may have to discipline, but I'm going to do it respectfully. I'm you know, I'm not going to be mean. And so there are two things you deal with. First, there is, what is the moral answer? What is the proper way to resolve the dispute? And truthfully, most people would reach the same conclusion. You know, what is fair? That's the question I first ask. Then I have to figure out, how do I fit in that fairness into the law? Because not all laws are fair. Now, you know, laws are written oftentimes by, you know, they're always written by legislators, but they're written by legislators that may have a particular point of view or may have particular interests they want to serve, like big business or the oil company or, you know, whatever. And so just because it's a law doesn't necessarily mean it's fair. And so the real challenge for a judge is, how do you deal with what is fair and still make that legal? Because those are not necessarily consistent. And that I find the challenge of being a judge.
Nothing is more important to me than a good night's sleep. Hey, I work too hard not to get a good night's sleep. And I found it impossible to find the right sheets until I discovered Boll & Branch. What I love about Boll & Branch is that they're 100% organic cotton and they're toxin-free. Also, they get softer with every freaking wash. Boll & Branch is higher quality sheets at a really affordable price. And I also love that they come in a variety of colors and fit everything from a twin to a California king. Listen, by listening to this podcast, you guys can experience the best sheets you've ever felt. Choose Boll & Branch. You can try them worry-free for 30 nights with free shipping and returns. And from listening to this podcast, you get an exclusive 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code VELVET at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L, and branch.com, promo code VELVET. Use it for 15% off and start sleeping better right now. What has shocked you more, some of the cases that you've seen on the Jerry Springer show or some of the cases that have come before you on Judge Jerry?
Well, the end, you know, the conventional answer would be, boy, I was shocked by what happened on my show. But once again, I think the thing that originally shocked me with the original show was that people would talk about these things on television. I don't think you can be a grown-up in today's world and be shocked by anything anymore. Now, you may be surprised that it happened to someone you know. That could be surprising. But there's no there's nothing that ever happened on our show that isn't already in the Bible, that isn't already in Shakespeare, that isn't already in literature. You know, we've known it all. And, you know, those things exist. But the shock would come if you knew the person. So I can't ever tell you that, you know, that I was totally shocked. What I was surprised in the early days is that people would talk about these personal things on television. But now, of course, with social media, what were we ever complaining about television for? Why was there ever a big, you know, hoopla about our early TV shows? Oh, my gosh, did you see what was on? You know, just go to whatever social platform you want to. You know, there is nothing that has ever been on our shows that can't be compared to what the kids are putting out on social media today.
I totally agree with that. And to that note, look at all the stuff that goes on reality TV. I mean, you had hair pulling and questions of paternity and wig pulling and everyone saying everything. I mean, do you consider yourself like one of the pioneers in this reality TV genre that we have today?
Oh, how proud I am. No. Well, I tell you what, I've always maintained that what we call reality TV today is not reality. In other words, the situations are made up for television. You put people on an island. That's not a natural thing to put strangers together and then you have to vote them off. Or Big Brother, you put them in a house. In other words, you create a situation that is not how they've been living their real lives.
Right.
Our show was reality because the only difference, whatever you saw, was their real life. They just happened to come on a TV studio, into a TV studio and talk about it. But the situation wasn't created for television. It was what was happening. So that is our show was reality television. But what we call reality shows now, it's unscripted. That would be a more accurate reflection. You know, they don't memorize their lines, but the situation is, you know, it's not natural.
That makes sense. Yes. People are not going to live in a house in Los Angeles and eat slop and play competitions and have no access to the outside world.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances.
That's true.
Do you watch any reality TV? Like, are you a fan of The Housewives or The Kardashians, or did you watch anything like that?
Not really. And I don't mean that in a snobby way. It's just that's not what when I watch television, it's either sports, cable news, because I'm very political, or I binge watch some shows, you know, for entertainment, movies. But I'm not a normal television watcher. You know, I watch very specific things. Like if the Yankees are on, I'm watching.
Did you binge watch anything recently that you just loved?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it started with Doc Martin. And Suits, and I love a lot of these European shows that even use subtitles. And the thing with that is you've really got to pay attention. Like you can't look down and if you're eating in front of the television and you know and cut your steak because you'll miss what the line is. You can't hear it.
Totally. And,
yeah. So, Borgen is a Danish show, which I've kind of really addicted to that. So, yeah, there are a bunch of shows that we watch.
Hey, ladies, and I know that's most of you listening right now, and I highly thank you for that. Did you know that Third Love creates high-quality underwear, sleepwear, and loungewear that is also completely comfortable? Their online shopping experience is so much fun. You take their fitting room quiz, which is so detailed that it helps you find the perfect size and style, which leads to a more accurate fit. And what I think is great is that Third Love, their cup size ranges from a double A through I, and that includes exclusive half cups. And their loungewear and sleepwear ranges from XS to 3X. By having so many sizes, it's easier for you to find the perfect fit. And their quality is there. They stress and obsess over every stitch. Listen, Third Love knows you deserve to feel comfortable and confident 24/7. So right now they're offering my listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/velvet now to find your perfect fitting bra and you get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/velvet for 20% off today. Did you ever feel, like you said, like it was real life, especially on the Jerry Springer show? Like, did you ever feel that people were there for like the wrong reasons? You know, like someone wanted their 15 minutes of fame and like, this is a real, you know, issue they're having, but here they are. They want to get on the Jerry Springer show.
Well, nobody does it for fame because they don't even use their real names. So, you know, there's no possibility. Now, in your neighborhood with your friends, oh, there's no question. This is cool. Let's face it. On the old show, the only reason you'd be on is because you called us. You know, we can't convince you to be, you couldn't convince a person to be on that show. No way. Right. They would have to desperately want to be on. So they're calling us. And the only way we, our phone number isn't in the phone book. Well, we don't have phone books anymore, but you can't, you know, it's, they would have to memorize the number at the bottom of the screen. So that means whoever called our show was a fan of the show, right?
Right.
You wouldn't say, hey, I'm going on that show if you knew nothing about the show. So you become a fan of it. And, you know, they call and they know the drill. They see, you know, and their friends watch it. And so, oh, this is cool, man. I'm going on Springer. You know, there's a lot of that. But they don't come on to be famous because, you know, other than their friends, no one's going to know because, as I said, we don't use their real names.
It was right. I think it was like a rite of passage for certain people. But another rite of passage was the Jerry, Jerry chant, which has carried over at times to Judge Jerry. Do you hear this chant in your sleep? And just, I mean, do you like this chant?
It's not a matter if I like it anymore. It's constant. And the because I get it, but wherever we go, you know, you walk through an airport and you go as you're walking to your gate, you're passing 25 other gates. And at every gate, people start chanting. So for them, it's only 10 seconds as I walk by. But for me, I'm hearing it for like 10 to 15 minutes till I get to the gate. The craziest place it ever happened, though, was I'm at a football game. I think it was in Cincinnati, the Bengals, or it may have been the Giants. Yeah, it may have been the Giants. Anyway, I was at a football game. And like every other guy, at some point, I had to go to the men's room. Well, the men's room in these stadiums is like 30 yards long with literally 50 urinals. And be in front of every urinal, there are 10 guys, you know, 20 guys lining up. So the place, it's massively crowded. Well, I get spotted there as I'm going to do my business in the urinal. And all of a sudden, 500 guys are chanting, Jerry, Jerry. Well, at my age, I have enough pressure on my own. I don't need to be going to the bathroom with 500 guys chanting Jerry, Jerry. That was the most uncomfortable place that it's ever been yelled.
That might make it a little difficult, right?
Yeah. Wait till you're 77.
I have a hard enough time now at times. So yeah, I get it. Well, I mean, I just figured, you know, maybe it was something you hear in your sleep. You know, it's constant,
but it's always nice. Let's face it. I mean, people are just so friendly and so nice. And of course that, you know, I appreciate that. It's all nice, you know.
What about the current landscape of talk shows? Like, you know, we have like Drew Barrymore and like Wendy Williams and Kelly Clarkson. Have you watched any of these? Do you put your stamp of approval on any of these shows?
Oh, well, they don't need my stamp of approval. They're very talented. The difference between them and me in terms of talk shows is these are talented people. I was just a regular guy who, you know, talks to non-famous people. But, you know, you go to Drew Barrymore or
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson, you know, she's a great singer, and you got actresses and get, so with these shows, these are people that were already talented before they took on a talk show. So they bring something to the table. With me, I was a news anchor for 10 years and a commentator. So it just so happened the show took off, and I happened to be the guy who was hosting it. So it's different. So I would never, even though I'm a judge, I'm not in a position to judge them. They have success on their own, and I, you know, wish them only the best.
That makes sense. What about, like, I know, you know, from one podcast host to the next, I've listened to your podcast. Nice. You are into politics. Like, you have something to say. You know, what about now, like, you look at, like, an Ellen, you know, who is now, like, all the rumors that it was, like, a toxic work environment, and now she's not on the air anymore. Like, do you, like, what do you think of the cancel culture we live in now? And, like, do you ever worry about that, like, with your own stuff? I mean, I do at times.
No, I mean, it's, look, when you put yourself out there, when you decide to go into entertainment, when you decide to speak a particular point of view or perform, you are basically saying to the public, either watch me, listen to me, what do you think? No one ever says, do not applaud. Do right. not say you like what I do. So if you are inviting a public reaction, sometimes the reaction's not going to be good. And that, you know, then the choice is don't go into, you know, don't become a performer. And that it's not comfortable. You know, my gosh, during the controversial years of my show, there was a ton of that, you know, people complaining, et cetera. I never took it personally because I don't take the Jerry personally. You know, people are responding to a performance, and they're entitled to that performance. If enough of them didn't like it, I wouldn't be doing it. But as long as you have an audience and you enjoy what you're doing and people like what you do, there's no particular reason to stop doing it.
You guys know that the only thing I like talking about as much as reality TV and pop culture is skincare. You know how thrilled I get when I find a new skincare product that really works. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about ORG. ORG's skincare's mineral face peel and body exfoliants are amazing, and they help bring that glow back. They gently exfoliate and hydrate your skin and only require a few sprays or rubs. What I love is you get immediate satisfaction by seeing the dead skin peel away. Their face peel that I use, it literally makes you feel like you were in a spa getting a professional facial for hours. And I really do love the instant proof. The dead skin peels right away. And that's what I personally love about it. Listen, right now for Behind the Velvet Rope listeners, ORG Skincare is offering 15% off your entire purchase. Skin is complex, but caring for your skin doesn't have to be. Visit orgskincare.com today and use promo code VELVET to see for yourself. That's orgskincare.com, promo code VELVET, and get 15% off your entire purchase. That's a good attitude. I mean, I know a lot of people, especially with social media, go down that hole of reading all the comments. So they should just listen to you and just realize, just separate the two.
Yeah.
Well, in addition to Judge Jerry and your iconic show, you've done so much. You were in movies, Broadway, game show host. You have a Simpsons character based on you, a country recording artist. But where does Dancing with the Stars fall on the range of things that you are proudest of in your career?
Well,
or enjoy doing?
Yeah, the Dancing with the Stars was turned out to be really fun. I would never do it again because I realized how difficult it was. And what was fun about it is I was totally outside my comfort zone. You know, I, as much as possible, tried to turn it into my comfort zone by, instead of selling my dancing, which was hopeless, I would tell jokes. And that, in a sense, became, because I would keep begging each week please don't vote for me. You know, at the end of each dance, they go backstage and they get interviewed.
Yeah.
And they always then at the end, you know, pretend they're making a phone call and they're pointing to the number on the screen, call, call, so that I can come back next week. And I would point to the number and like do the cut of my neck. Do not vote, please, because I want to go home. Because if they voted you for another week, you'd have to go through another week of training for a new dance. After 1 or 2 weeks, that was no longer, you know, I was exhausted, and it was a lot of pressure. I mean, if you think about it, 30 million people or whatever are watching you do something you have no skill in doing.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
You know, yeah. At least if you're singing, everybody, even if you can't sing, sings in the shower or whatever. Okay. Everyone hums a tune. So you can do that and not be totally embarrassed because, you know, half the population can't really sing. So they're just, but who knows how to dance unless you've really taken dancing seriously?
Yeah.
And your body, you know, you're shaking your body, you're doing all kinds of stupid things. And I remember 30 seconds before it was time to go on, because this is live. And you're backstage and I'm there with Kim Johnson, my partner. And we're getting ready and she's cool as a cucumber. And I am just, oh God. And I'm trying to remember the steps. For me, that was the biggest worry. I knew my form wouldn't be good, but who cared? What I was worried about, that in the middle of the dance, I would forget the next step. And if you go to someone's wedding or bar mitzvah or whatever, and you just get up there and dance, you know, because everyone's dancing, you just shake your body. Or if you do the cha-cha, you do the steps in one direction and the steps in. You just keep repeating this stuff. There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
But when you do a choreographed dance on Dancing with the Stars, it is a minute and a half where no step is repeated. So if all of a sudden you miss a step, how do you catch up? You can't tell the orchestra to stop. It's live music. It's 30 million people watching. So and one dance I totally forgot on the Paso Doble, and I just turned it into a disaster. Even my daughter called up that night and said, "Dad, it's time to come home." And in a moment of cruelty, they voted me on for another week. It was terrible.
She's like, "There's 30 million people watching. What are you doing?"
Yes.
Yeah. But at least you were creative and you made up your own experience.
Poor Kim had no idea what I was doing. I was just shaking the cape around. And I was making up my own dance. It was pathetic.
With a Paso Doble, that's like a good, you know, just a good default.
Yeah.
What about, you know, you've met so many people, you know, I mean, you're Jerry Springer throughout your career. Do you ever get starstruck? Are you the type, like, or did you, but I mean, I assume you don't anymore. Or do you still get starstruck when you meet someone that you're like a huge fan of?
I guess the only, not because I was in politics so long, and I was involved at a reasonably high level that, you know, I've met all the presidents, at least in my lifetime. And so that stuff, and I can't say sports figures. Yeah. Yeah. When I meet sports figures, because I'm such a sports fan, that, you know, meeting Magic Johnson, or if I meet a Yankee, you know, I get all excited about that. But show business, not so much. Yeah, I can't say I get particularly starstruck.
What about now that season three is back for Judge Jerry? What can we expect? Like, is season three different than the other two? Like, tell us a little bit about what to expect.
Actually, yeah, it's different for, well, one reason that we had nothing to do with it, and that's the pandemic. Season three is different simply because in season two, we couldn't have the plaintiff and defendant in the courtroom. So we had to do it remotely.
Right.
So I was in the courtroom with Najee, my bailiff, in Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut, right outside New York City. But the plaintiff and defendant, they could be in Phoenix, Arizona, in Atlanta, Georgia. And so it was basically trick photography. It looked like they were in the courtroom with me, but they weren't. And because of that delay and whatever, it really, it made it more stilted. And truthfully, I think, like with most of the television shows, people had to adapt to that. It didn't have the spontaneity. Now, the season we're doing now, which you will start seeing the shows the second week of September, those shows, starting then, the plaintiffs and defendants, everyone is in the courtroom, including the spectators. So now it's back to virtually being a live show again.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check out betterhelp.com/velvetrope. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at a total loss, but if your stress level is high, your temper is shorter than usual, or even if you're starting to feel strain in any of your relationships, you could probably use the chance to unload. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased and who's not going to judge you or take sides. If there's stuff you can't tell your friends or family, this is the place to do it. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain for it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Behind the Velvet Rope listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/velvetrope. That's BETTERHELP.com/velvetrope. BetterHelp.com/velvetrope.
And it's a lot different. That's one thing that's going to be different. And the other is the parties this year are much crazier. They're almost like the parties of my original show, but this time they're coming to court with their problems. So, I had this one suit by a ventriloquist who, she was excellent, but she was suing on behalf of her puppet because the contract said she would be paid, I think it was $500 a performance each night, and she wanted another $500 for the puppet because if she was on alone, it wouldn't be an act. And what was funny about that lawsuit is she's a ventriloquist. So half the time the puppet was answering me and I was asking serious legal questions that I needed answers to. And so here I was, I'm a grown man and I'm talking to puppets. And the defendant he was arguing with a puppet. He's yelling at the puppet. So, yeah, the cases are a little bit crazier than you would see on a normal court show, but it's a court show.
My mouth is dropped open. Yes, I wouldn't have expected, you know, that. On that note, like, does anything, you know, between your original show and now Judge Jury, does anything shock you? I mean, you've seen it all pretty much, Jerry.
Yeah, no, as I said before, nothing. I mean, yeah, I was surprised that a puppet would file a lawsuit, but well, Chiefs filed it on behalf of the puppet, but the puppet was doing the talking. So it was very entertaining and she was really good. But, you know, it's hard for me to tell her to close your mouth because it's already closed. So I could bang the gavel, but the puppet didn't pay any attention.
And then you have to apply that to the law, like you said. So that's
well,
like
sure.
I had,
because it was real money involved. I think it was something like $5,000. So, you know.
You've had such a long, prosperous career doing so many different things. If someone were to make a movie about your life, who would you want to play you? What actor?
Well, who would I want is Brad Pitt. Who would I get is Woody Allen. I don't know. No one would. I think that would be a career ender for anyone who, you know, who played me.
I don't know about that. I think Brad Pitt is, he could pull it off.
Oh yeah. The thing is, I never looked like Brad Pitt. You know, that's in my dreams, not in, you know, not reality.
Well, you know, makeup and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt's a great one. How do you want to be remembered for all the work you've done, like in front of the camera?
I don't particularly want to be. It's a false vanity to be remembered, you know, unless you want to be remembered by your kids and your grandkids because you were in their life and you hope you set a good example for them and you've taught them things and you know, and we've had wonderful moments together. And, you know, I still think of my parents long gone. So that memory is important. Every other thing in 10 years is forgotten by virtually everybody. You know, I grew up with Jack Benny in terms of, you know, comedians, yeah. Whatever, Henny Youngman. And you'd say to kids today, who's Jack Benny? Well, and I'm thinking, how can you not know who Jack Benny was? Even Bob Hope is now virtually, you know, not remembered very much at all for a right. Younger generation. So all this thing we build up, like I'm going to, unless you're a president and you're in Mount Rushmore or you won a major war, no one's remembered. Half the kids go to high schools named after someone and they don't have any idea who that person was. You know, kids go to Horace Mann High School. They don't know who Horace Mann was. You know, it's like, so we put all, this is just ego. It's a false ego. I don't need to be remembered just by my family, you know, who is there. If you ask people today, what were the names of your great grandparents? 95% of people have no memory of what their names would be. Not their grandparents, their great grandparents. And what was their maiden name? It's like, so who are we kidding? Yeah.
That's such a healthy view of the business.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you need my advice, but let's face it. Most people don't have that understanding of fame.
Yeah.
Business.
People say they want to leave a legacy. You're not, your kids, you're leaving a legacy to. To everyone else. Do good things, but do good things because you're thankful for the life that God gave you. That's why you do good things, not because you want to be remembered. It's like and I don't want to get on the whole subject, but the idea that people say they do good things so they can go to heaven. That means you're just doing it because you want something back, not because it's the right thing to do. Why should you do good things only because there's a reward at the end? You know, I hope there's a heaven. Be nice to get to heaven, but that's not why you do good things. You do good things because it's the right thing to do. That's what you teach your kids.
I love that answer. Well, on that note, before we wrap up, Judge Jerry, season three, the first season, which premiered in 2019, was the highest rated court show in the past 5 years at that point. And last season still averaged well over 1 million viewers per show. So I don't think you're retiring anytime soon, Jerry, if the powers that be at Judge Jerry have anything to say about it.
I hope I don't. By the way, I love the name of your show.
Behind the Velvet Rope?
Yes, because I never got there. In other words, you know, it used to be when I was young, you know, just like today, they have the nightclubs, whatever. And you line up to get in. And until I was well known, I was never the one that got in. You know, they look you over and they say, sorry. And then this beautiful woman would walk by and she'd get right to the front of the line. She goes in. Some real hunk of a guy, he goes in. And I'm stuck there waiting an hour and a half to get into a club where no one's going to talk to me. I'm okay now. I just had to get that off my chest.
Well, guess what? Here, you're always welcome behind this velvet rope.
Thank you.
And I think if you go to any club now, you know, they might let you in, Jerry. I'm just...
Well, now because you know.
See, I know.
That's the part that got me, which isn't fair. You know, it's like if you're just a regular person, you don't get in unless you're drop dead gorgeous. Well, that never was going to work for me. So I was just hoping I would get in because I was next in line.
Well, with social media, what it is today, you're probably seeing it's even worse now. Now, you know, anyone could have that 15 minutes of fame. They turn it on themselves and it's a false sense of a lot of things, right?
My grandson told me that I'm big on TikTok now. And I have no idea, but I know I do little skits or whatever, or little silly stuff, you know, that the show asked me to do for social media or whatever. And I do stuff like that and apparently gets a following, but I don't even know how to get on TikTok.
TikTok is being big on TikTok is a thing, Jerry. It's a big thing.
It is?
Yes. Like if you want to be big on anything right now, at least for this week, that's kind of the thing to be big on.
Oh, so I should say, follow me on TikTok.
No. Follow you on TikTok. Follow you on Instagram.
Oh, and by the way, watch Judge Jerry, I was just going to say,
and everyone needs to watch season three of Judge Jerry just for this ventriloquist alone. Is there anything else you want to leave us with before we wrap up? I thank you for answering all my questions.
No, if you need a couple of bucks, give me a call. You know, I'll try to send it your way.
That is very nice of you. That is very nice of you. I might be taking you up on that at some
point. Okay, I bet you will. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jerry, so much. Have a good day. And everyone watch Judge Jerry. See you later.
See you guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.